All right, here is our BSP only show, and okay, this day started really shitty, and it's going to get shittier. But the reason why it started shitty is because I was reminded of a fucking the whole fucking conversation about SiriusXM. Jake Fogelnest has resigned from SiriusXM, which is fine. He's moving off. He's not going to do the show anymore. And I don't know. I haven't asked Jake, and I shouldn't. You know, I really should not speculate. I do know that there are a great many people that have shows there that don't get paid. They don't make a salary. SiriusXM is a large warehouse. It's essentially a place that's making its studios available to people that want to promote, say, a stand-up career or some aspect of their career. And so with the exception of, you know, for instance, Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony, and maybe one or two others who get, I believe, have agreed to a terms of a deal that will pay them a certain amount of money. I don't want to call it salary, but that's really what it is. It's guaranteed money, okay? Everybody else there is on a revenue share, such as Stephanie Miller. That's revenue sharing. However much fucking money they make in advertising, they get a piece of that. And maybe Stephanie has guaranteed a certain bottom line, and I don't know who the fuck else is over there, Michael Smirkanish and a few other people. Okay, so that's the top tier of talent at SiriusXM. But everybody else that does their fucking show over there, and I don't give a motherfuck what it is working for free. The exchange, of course, if you were to ask SiriusXM, the exchange is that they are providing them a platform to promote their show. Well, perhaps. You'd have to understand, and it would take a smarter man than me, exactly what the actual value of that is. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the value of that is. But, you know, when Jake said goodbye on Twitter, I said, congratulations, Jake, you know, meaning, you know, you're busting out, you're going to newer levels of fun and joy and coolness, right? This goddamn studio, the longer I work in here, the more fault I find with it, which is, you know, life, isn't it? You know, the nicer it is, the better it gets. The better it gets, the nicer it is. So, by the way, West Virginia, what's with these uniforms? I don't understand. The white helmet with the fucking high school logo? What the fuck happened to you guys? You used to have this really cool logo that had this big WV. Who the fuck changed your goddamn... You look like fucking shit now. You do. Your uniform looks like shit. Uniforms are important in football. Uniforms are football. The football uniform evolved. Look at this. You're getting your fucking ass kicked by Kansas, you goddamn fucking fairies. The uniform in football, let me just sidetrack for a moment. The uniform in football evolved as the result of need, obviously. It was purely the function of need. Baseball, who the fuck knows? You could play baseball wearing a suit, I guess. Somebody came up with a cap and a thing and a this and a that. Maybe it evolved off of goddamn rounders or some other bullshit, But in football, you got to have pads on your ass, pads on your shoulders. Okay, here's a jersey, here's a number. You can identify who the guy is. And oh yeah, as an afterthought, and only as an afterthought, somebody thought up a helmet. There were guys that were playing with no helmets for a while. Just like in hockey, there were guys playing in football with no helmets. Up until the 30s. And at some point, they made them mandatory, I don't know when. And then one fine feathered day, an artist, a guy who was a Los Angeles Ram team member, and who in the off season was a commercial artist, asked to take the helmets home during the off season because he had an idea. And he said, okay. And he came back with this horn, these horns painted on the helmet. He said, what do you think? They said, it's pretty good. And so the Los Angeles Rams became the very first team to actually have on the helmet some form of identifying design or logo. And that really kicked, I think, pro football's marketing into high gear. We had these helmets that you could look at. There's a Ram helmet, the 49er helmet, the Browns helmet, and now it all, you know, began. So it was no longer just team colors. Now you had these logos. And then became the rush to market these teams like you wouldn't believe. And it's not on. I don't think it's a coincidental that pro football, you know, became very marketable on television as during these same years. And then comes obviously the mergers of the American Football League with the National Football League. Mascots were off to the races. The Pittsburgh Steelers have one of the most unique and beloved designs. They have the Steeler logo on just one side of the helmet. And the other side of the helmet sort of pays homage to the old days of football where there was no logo. So you see this pure black helmet on the one side, and on the other is the Steeler logo. You have the Raiders. It's very identifiable. You have teams that can't seem to leave their goddamn logo alone. They keep changing it this way, that way, this way, that way. That would be the New York Giants, for instance. The New York Giants had a perfectly fine logo. It was the NY, that's it, boom. Then they fucked around with Giants. This Jets did the same goddamn thing. The Buffalo Bills can't leave that motherfucking logo alone for love or money. They can't leave the design of their uniforms alone. They can't, you know. The Patriots, everybody hated that little guy with the football. What difference does it fucking make? You make the logo something when you win. Then the logo means something. The logo ain't going to mean shit until you win. You could have a teddy bear there, man, and you get a fucking winning team, and suddenly that teddy bear looks pretty fucking badass. So now West Virginia, that had a perfectly fine uniform, someone came along, some stupid cunt in the sports department, said, let's change the logo, and you think it's no big thing? Yeah, it's a big fucking thing. Their goddamn, their uniforms look like goddamn shit. All right. You had bigger fucking problems in West Virginia, man, than, you know, running water and whether or not you'll be able to drink that shit. You're fucking, the uniform in this football team's gotta go. So this morning, I got into this whole discussion on Twitter, and it's the worst thing in the world, man, to get on Twitter early in the morning before you're gonna do a show, because you never know what's gonna, you know, what kind of shit is coming your way, man. What do these motherfuckers want now? So I made the comment last night before I hit the sack. SiriusXM paved the way to radio's future. They actually don't pay people. They actually don't. When I heard that, it was, to me, the arrogance of these pieces of shit that took our business apart. I didn't think it could get any greater. But by God, they did it. You see, SiriusXM became SiriusXM when Mel Karmazin was unable to compete with XM. He couldn't fucking compete, and he didn't want to even worry about compete. He didn't want to give consumers a better product. He didn't want to engage in what has purified American art and business over the years, and that is good, honest competition, and let's find out, you know, where we can go to make it better, and the other guy tries something, I get better than him. He didn't want to do that because that's too much trouble, and that puts too much that invests too much energy in the hands of programmers and artists, because they're the ones that have got to come up with the programming to actually compete. No, what Mel decided to do was just buy out the competition, because there was only one. And I'm sure this was very sound business, because he would sit there like a fucking cunt on Fox Business News and talk to whatever asshole was starstruck on that particular given day. It might have been that clown. Who's that midday guy they got with the glasses? And now this new guy, this bowling, this fucking guy. Anyway, somebody would talk about, you know, how to create wealth. Yeah, I'll bet you know how to create wealth, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm sure you know how to create wealth. You know, creating wealth. Creating wealth. When I was a kid, they said to me, the best way to create personal wealth is to find a career that you love, do it well, and you will be rewarded. And it wasn't just me. They said that to everyone. This was the sterling. This was the what do they call it? The standard of the coin of the realm. This was what you went out into the world with. This is my talent. This is what I do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Now, understand, of course, you recognize there was competition, and so you had to, you know, you had to kind of elbow your way to the top, but that's to be expected. I mean, that's what moving up in the world is. But it was always about what you did. Is Mel Karmazin a broadcaster? I thought he was. Then we realized what he really was when we took a look at what SiriusXM became. $500 million in debt, that motherfucker drove that company into the hole. $500 million in debt so he could buy Sirius, so he could buy XM, combine the two fucking companies. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm going to tell you this right now, one of the things that really angers me, and it would anger anybody that had any real, you know, conscience about this industry, which nobody does. No one really loves the radio business. You can read all these goddamn radio writers. They don't fucking give a fuck. Talk about these motherfuckers that own these companies. They don't give a fuck either. All they're looking to do is cut the overhead, cut the overhead, cut the, oh Christ, I can't compete. You can't compete because you're so fucking stupid, man, and so fucking bereft of any talent or any originality or any real sense as a broadcaster that you don't even, you shouldn't have gotten into the business in the first place. You thought it was just going to be a simple matter of putting some syndicated show on your shit can fucking operation, go out, have lunch with some local advertiser, just so you can fill up all those local avails, all the national avails, you know, they get, and you make yourself a nice little piece of change, and you don't have to do a goddamn thing. You can sit there like you do every day with your thumb shoved up your motherfucking ass. I remember guys like Emil Corona, a guy I worked for in Orlando when we had a rock station down there at WORJ. It was an FM station. It was owned by one man with a company. And every day he was in that fucking office with his sleeves rolled up. And he was surrounded by these guys that were 25 years old, 26 years old, young women that were the same age, all with long fucking hair and were playing rock and roll. And there was Mr. Corona. And he came in and he did what he did. He sold. And he would talk to Bill, Bill McGathy was our program director, and he would talk to the music director, and he'd find out what the thinking was, and he'd say, go for it, man, do it. He enabled us to do what we did, which was play fucking rock and roll. And he came in every day, and I mean it. I still remember that little man. He was only about 5'6". He was a soft-spoken, very sweet guy. I went on vacation. I couldn't afford it. So I asked Mr. Corona, would you please advance me? Could I get an advance on my pay? And he said, let's just call it a Christmas gift, Phil. I said, you know, sir, I really want to pay you back. Nah. Boom. I was able to fly to California to see my family. Same thing with the Milners down in Miami. Now, I'm not saying I want to return to those days because I understand that it's a bigger business now. There's a lot more money involved. The small operators, for whatever reason, cannot compete unless they are really, really super, super creative. And I don't know what the answer would be. But I will tell you this, that in the process, we've completely lost our love of broadcasting. And what we have in the absence of that is the need to sort of keep this animal fed as it gets bigger, less interesting, more unwieldy, more disgusting, more full of shit than ever before. SiriusXM is sort of the end result. It's a satellite business. Well, what that was supposed to be the future until, of course, came digital. And now everybody's got a podcast and everybody is, you know, doing internet radio. Everybody's streaming and everybody is basically doing it because this is, you know, what has been left to us. But also because, frankly, I have the freedom to say any motherfucking thing I want to say. I don't have the FCC up my ass. I don't have a radio station general manager up my ass. All I have to do is keep my subscribers happy, and I make my living. I make a better living today than during 90% of my fucking career, with the exception of the very, you know, flush years I had, and those amounted to maybe two or three when I was at Clear Channel. And quite frankly, the sky's the limit in this particular realm because I can cut deals with anybody and do anything I want. Yesterday I was down doing prep work on a TV pilot we're going to put together. But I'm a producer on that show. I'm not working for anybody, okay? So the decisions are mine. Now, that's not to say it isn't hard work, but it is work that we're doing because we like to do it and because it's the creative end of this thing, and it's because I'm looking at the radio business as it is, and it has turned into a mountain of shit. SiriusXM, with a $500 million debt, with Mel Karmazan ready to jump out of a fucking window, ready to be fired by the fucking shareholders, or a guy that was going to actually bail this thing out, cut a deal with a, I believe it was Liberty Media or one of these, you know, companies that that come in and buy and finance and then tear apart, whatever, but was able, I think these are the guys that actually underwrite DirecTV, if I'm not mistaken. I could be very, or Dish Network, one of the two. But nonetheless, they got, they could fund their debt. They could go on, okay? But they had to get that fucking bottom line fattened up. Well, because they despise talent. What have I always said to you? They despise talent in radio. Despise it. I don't give a fuck about how many fucking articles have been written about how brilliant this guy or that guy or this chick or that kid. I don't give a shit. Radio at the bottom line despises talent. All you have to do is look at what they pay these kids to voice track 500 fucking radio stations all over the country so these fucking blood-sucking motherfuckers can go out and sell that shit. Voice track songs, put it on iHeartRadio, put a show on iHeartRadio that goes all over the fucking world. Do you think that that is worth more money to an individual doing that show? If you suddenly have him broadcasting not to an audience of, say, a million people, but you have him broadcasting to an audience potentially of 400 million, do you think that that's worth any more money? As an incentive, as a reward, what do you think? Well, not in today's environment, Phil. All right, fine. I tell you what, you apply those very same standards to your own motherfucking business, and you come on back and talk to me. You tell me that in your business, it doesn't fucking matter how many customers you have, you may not get paid this week. Go ahead, tell me that's acceptable to you because of the business climate. Give me a fucking break. This is why people have a problem with capitalism. You know, there was the longest time where I believed, just like everybody else, that, well, shit, how could it get any better than that? You compete, and as you compete, you make it better. No, not necessarily. When you compete and all you want is money, as opposed to making a better product, the product's quality and the product's importance and relevance begins to recede in the background, and the pursuit of the dollar is all that matters. And when you have that, you have every kind of psychopath, every kind of fucking crook, and the confusion that reigns is unbelievable. You don't give a fuck anymore about what it is you're making. You're just looking to make that next quarter look fatter, and the next quarter look fatter, and the next year look fatter. Well, doesn't it matter? Doesn't product matter? Yes, of course it does. But it means work. And what we have today with apps, with McDonald's, with the drive-through, with the drive-up, with the extra lube, you know, whatever it is, we're looking for a faster way to the finish. You know, we're looking to a more direct way, a much easier way to get to what it is we're looking for. We're looking for a payday is what we're looking for. What's the fastest way to that payday? I don't have to work for that shit. Don't tell me that I got to go out and, for instance, take a radio show and really and promote it and market it and think and try to come up with ways that no. Not, you know, if it doesn't hit the bottom line, we'll throw that shit out and next. Sean Compton at Clear Channel, I don't even know where that motherfucker is. Does he even have a fucking job anymore? That motherfucker was the epitome of this kind of new thinking, this brand thinking. He's one of these cunts, along with the people who worked at ABC. They bring in names. Did they have any broadcast experience? Well, what's that got to do with it? Well, were they fucking entertaining on the radio? What's that got? They're entertaining. So he brought in Whoopi Goldberg. With all due respect to Whoopi, fantastic entertainer. She couldn't find her fucking ass with both hands doing a radio show. That lasted, what, 6 fucking months? Now you bring in, and we've mentioned the names before, the Fred Thompsons of the world, the fucking Mike Huckabees of the world, that this clown, whoever brought, who was propping Mike Huckabee, this dumb cunt at ABC? Whoever that guy was. Yeah, Mike Huckabee. This is the guy, right? Well, what happened was, as these conservatives took over the airwaves, and the quality of broadcasting began to sink. And they took over the airwaves because this was a very quick dollar for these lazy pieces of shit that ran these stations and companies. Because, again, They're not interested in great radio. They're interested in the fastest track to the dollar, right? And what was it? Well, for a while, it was conservative. Well, just like any other very, uncreative and uninterested type, they decided they'd stick a whole bunch of conservatives on the radio. Well, that's a Rush Limbaugh works. We'll get a Michael Savage. We'll get, who are the people? Mary Matlin for a while. G. Gordon Liddy for a while. They didn't know where to find them. They were just going out and finding conservatives. I don't know. This is about these guys, I mean, just like Robert Altman put on the screen there in The Player, it's like a bunch of network executives sitting around and saying, I'm getting sick and tired of these fucking, these radio announcer talent types, these broadcast talent types. We can get anybody. Hey, go get Gordon Liddy. Just like those assholes in The Player, they said, we don't need writers. We can just pull this shit out of the newspaper. So they were doing the same thing in radio. Go get Gordon Liddy. Go get Mary Madeline. Anybody that's going to go get Bill Bennett. Let's bore the living fuck out of people. Bill Bennett. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ to the people that hired him. Bill Bennett, that guy was as dull as fucking dull. I can say these things, folks, because I know how hard I work. I know how hard it is to do a radio show or to do a podcast, to really put energy into what it is you're trying to do. I don't give a flying fuck what anybody says. That is dereliction of the highest order. And it leads to, you see, it's not capitalism in the very pure sense that you and I were taught. When you get the very best, you purify the atmosphere for, like Gordon Gekko in that bullshit speech in Wall Street, greed is good. Greed purifies. No, it doesn't. Greed simply creates more of that greed. It doesn't have anything to do with quality. And nothing to do whatsoever with quality. You know? The destruction of radio coincides with the creation of the podcast world. And now we're going to see, as is being seen right now, talent and all different kinds of talent and all different kinds of programs begin to, rise to the top. And radio will continue to do whatever it does, which we're not quite sure. It's now become sort of this, these are empty warehouses. They're empty factories waiting for somebody to come in and lease the equipment, use it for a reason. You know, it's like an old strip mall. Well, we got a bunch of stores. Some guy opens a restaurant for 6 months. Fuck it. Location sucks. The upkeep is shitty. The whole place is a shit can. I don't want to use it, you know. That's kind of radio, you know. Mark Levin this morning on Twitter. Mark is a nice man. He's a very, very typical conservative host. He's uninteresting. He's not the least bit humorous. He's just gives a fucking speech and a lecture, and he's always right, and he's never wrong, and he's a boring motherfucker on the radio. And there he was holding forth about Obama. Well, all of that shit got to the point where there was so much of it, they were competing with each other, they were getting even more further and further away from where they should have been, and the advertisers just fled. They said, we can't take it anymore. So that's why Rush Limbaugh went from KFI over to a 1,000-watt stick in L.A., not because Rush is any worse than he was, not because Rush is a terrible guy, but because the broadcast environment that he works in squeezed fucking, you know, just tried to get blood out of a rock, man. Just kept on squeezing that same goddamn formula. The conservative talk show host kept on beating that motherfucking shit into the ground until there was nothing left. Until even Rush Limbaugh, as the originator, until even his show is partially destroyed by it. And now they've gone back to live and local and this, and that's whatever works, you know. And they've also, you know, sports talk is making a comeback, and it's all the same shit. So then this morning they're asking me all about on Twitter, you know, all about fucking guys working for free at SiriusXM. Of course they're working for free at SiriusXM. What the fuck world do you live in? They're quoting fucking the Business Insider to me, and I don't give a flying fuck that they goddamn brought their stock. They brought their stock price back by not fucking paying people. When have you ever heard of such a thing? And then not only that, but they got bucket shop motherfuckers sitting on a phone bothering people morning, noon, and fucking night about getting a subscription to SiriusXM when you lease a new car. At least my fucking Land Rover. I got these fucking cunts calling me from SiriusXM morning, noon, and night. It was fucking funniest thing in the world, man. I just look up, he's like, block the number. You know, I had to block like three numbers that these fucking harassing pieces of shit from SiriusXM calling me to get, you know, a subscription. I mean, fucking putting a hard sell on, man, because they got a company to save. Are you kidding? You think those motherfuckers have got some marvelously profitable enterprise over there? Because now NASDAQ will actually carry their goddamn fucked up stock price because they brought it up above a dollar a share? You think these motherfuckers are world beaters? These motherfuckers at SiriusXM are the last shining example of the fucking plantation of radio. These motherfuckers won't go down without a fight. They will continue to fucking beat talent into the goddamn ground. I'll bet you at some point, if Howard even is there, they'll try to get him to work for fucking free. They'll try to get Opie and Anthony to work for free. And all you motherfuckers are... with your bullshit about Anthony, you don't even know the half of it, motherfucker. You don't even know what the real big picture is, whether Anthony is working for the fucking show or not, or whether this, that, some other bullshit. That motherfucker, those people that put Anthony out in the street, as much of a fucking racist as that guy is, and he is. He's a fucking racist. He's a goddamn old school, fucking old neighborhood, goddamn racist. Don't give me your bullshit. I know the type. But I will tell you this. SiriusXM knew who that guy was. They knew what he was. They knew what he was pitching, what he was selling. They were totally fine with it. But they are not broadcasters. Broadcasters stand behind their people. They stand behind the art. They stand behind what they put on the air. They bring their lawyers up, and the lawyers get in behind the talent. That's what they do in movies. That's what they do in TV. They don't fucking do it in radio because they don't give a fuck about talent. Don't you ever fucking... start talking to me about how with this company, that company, some other motherfucking company is doing. Do some fucking homework first, okay? And these fucking Twitter debates and these Twitter universities, you're not going to learn anything on Twitter. You ain't going to fucking educate anybody about anything on Twitter. You ain't going to be doing diddly shit. Margaret, what do you think?
I think you have been going on, and I think you're going to bore people.
No. Don't give me that bore people thing.
Then you gotta do it, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. There, that's what I think of that, motherfuckers. All right. We've got about a minute to go here, so... welcome, everybody, to Tune In. Tune In and listen live. Yes. And if you missed... if you're not a part of our BSP family, you missed our pre-show, you're going to have to check this out, because I lit into fucking... not only SiriusXM, but once again, the whole radio industry. Look... let me just tell you this, you know, and I'm talking about SiriusXM as the sort of the foundational. SiriusXM is not the new world. SiriusXM is the death of the old world. SiriusXM, if they hope to join the new world, SiriusXM is going to have to incentivize and their talent. They're going to have to really, I believe, become more interested in what content really is. And I'd love to meet who they have over there. They got some fucking clown over there that they call the director of talent. What the fuck are you people doing, man? Honest to God. All right, be right back here with more. Let's get the show going. God damn it. I was going to put Yellow Wolf up here, man. God damn you, fuck. Here we go. Because I want to hear this, you know. Hold on, folks. We're going to be with you in a second here. All right. Going to start the show with a little of this, a little of that. We'll be right back. World famous, I mean, we are here. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show.